Hello, everyone. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, non-human radio. Non-human radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local seasonal and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star Pizza features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan, gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner 7 nights a week with live jazz on Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And by Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullen's has been serving the Chico community since 1918 and is located at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico. They can be reached by calling 342-1055. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. I'm back and recovering from the flu. If you hear any sudden coughing followed by silence, that is Jeannie turning off my mic. Today we'll be shedding some crocodile tears about the economic vulnerability of the cattle industry in the Trump era. We'll also talk about the economic strength of a California-based vegan cheese company, as well as the outrageous USDA purge of public documents on animal abusers on its website. We'll wrap up by remembering Tom Reagan, the animal rights hero, who sadly passed away last week. Jeannie, take it away.
All right. So, if the first casualty of war is truth, then the first casualties of trade war are the working man and woman. And first among them is about to be the iconic Tex-6 rancher. This is not a news story from an animal rights organization or veg news. This story is straight from the heartland, the Dallas Morning News.
Jeannie, what have you been doing reading the Dallas Morning News?
I just see what crosses my Facebook threshold and some other activists were sharing this. So, in the lovely rolling pastures of the Texas Hill Country, large ranches prosper from a wet winter. But now that a years-long drought has broken, just like it has here in California, ranchers can count on trucking in and paying for less hay. But Texas cattle ranchers now face a new threat, the Trump administration's blundering, blustering trade policy. By threatening a trade war with Mexico, within days of inauguration, the president helped trigger a slide in cattle futures. Mexico is a major export market for cattle. And also by sinking the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the new administration cut off long-sought access to the Japanese market for these ranchers. Now, banks have raised the conditions for collateral for loans for ranchers, so they're putting them in a tight spot. Texas, of course, doesn't fit the mold of an enfeebled America that is losing jobs to competitors overseas. If you look at Texas, it's actually the largest exporter among the 50 states, with nearly $280 billion in exports, according to state data. And the top destinations for those export markets is Mexico, followed by Canada, Brazil, and China. And more Texans work in trade, in the trade area, than in the oil and gas fields. So, sinking the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, may have been popular with Trump supporters and others, certainly on the progressive side. There are lots of anti-TPP folks, but it was not popular. The sinking of that trade agreement was not popular with cattle ranchers, who actually have been building up their herds for years and anticipating shipping beef products to Japan when tariffs would be estimated to be falling from around 39% to just over 9%. So evidently Japan has a lot of high trade barrier for U.S. beef.
Right.
So, and of course, I can paint the scenario, but another country will step in to fill this gap, this missing U.S. beef that won't be going overseas. And they'll be happy to provide animal products for these international markets. But I thought this was an interesting story because it shows that this industry, the cattle industry, is structurally vulnerable in terms of trade, and it's not necessarily an animal rights story. And I think that some of our local ranchers may also be vulnerable in the same way, because most of them do not trade in the local economy. They partake in the feedlot system of cattle production. You know, the cattle we see out here on our grasslands that are grazing. A lot of those baby cows are not headed for some idyllic local ranch.
Right.
They're going to be separated from their moms and trucked into a auction house, and then eventually transported to a feedlot down south somewhere.
Yeah, I kind of have mixed feelings about this story, because either way, it doesn't end well for the cattle. So I don't necessarily cheer the fact that, you know, Texas conservatives have messed up their own economy. But I think your point is the salient one, in that it's just not a sustainable business. It's so dependent on tariffs, on propping up the industry, on subsidies, on cheap grazing. I would encourage cattle ranchers to seek another business.
Yeah, it's a risky business, and it's an unsustainable business. And I think it's a mistake. I think also it's a mistake to look at our local economy, our local ranchers, and think that they are just part of a local economy, right? They are feeding into this bigger system. They're part of the national domestic economy, and they're also part of the international economy. And as much as I like the idea of locavorism and a region being self-sustaining, I think pragmatically that isn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, you drive down I-5 past the Farmers Feed America signs where they're planting rampant amounts of new almond trees to sell almonds grown with our limited water to foreign countries. I mean, it's not a local business. We couldn't possibly eat that many almonds.
All right. Well, what's up next, Danny?
Yeah, this is a cool story. A vegan cheese entrepreneur receives $6 million in a round of investment. Miyoko's Kitchen, maker of over 10 kinds of aged vegan cheeses, announced this week that it had received $6 million in funding from several investment companies. The plant-based cheese and butter company based...
in a fig leaf. It's actually wrapped in a fig leaf. It looks very elegant and very she. And then they have another one called Mount Vesuvius Black Ash, where they take a plant-based black ash and they dredge the round of cheese, yes, in that. And that is like, that's also very gorgeous, because you have this black crust and then this very creamy white cheese. So I just wanted to like point those out. She's got replica alternatives for cheese. Is about the U.S. Department of Agriculture's website. On January 21st, after the inauguration of Donald Trump, the USDA deleted access. It took away like the whole page for its database of animal facility inspection reports. These are reports that are in the public domain and that the agency must release upon request in any case. Like if they get a Freedom of Information Act request, they would release this document without question. These are the annual and monthly inspection reports for various animal facilities. So I was prepared to, like, have a really grouchy story about that, and it's still grouchy because I haven't released everything. But last Friday, the USDA began reposting some of those animal welfare documents in response to huge protests from animal welfare organizations as well as many individual activists about this action.
That's just odd.
Implemented it.
There's a lot of things that the 45 administration is trotting out that they are. We always had a plan for it. We're just using the other guy's plan. Well, they've got plans for everything for 50 years. They don't implement them.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So anyway, so the USDA said in a public statement about it that it has, quote, reposted a first batch of data, which includes annual reports at research institutions and inspection reports for some federal research facilities. So that's why I'm still grouchy, right? Because they should be releasing everything like they were. So, quote, the reports posted are part of a comprehensive review of the documents the agency removed from its website in early February. That's a mistake. That's not accurate because it was in January. And they are in the same redacted form as before, the statement said. So the move comes after several leading animal advocacy groups threatened to sue the USDA after it discontinued this online search tool that it had. The groups included PETA, the Beagle Freedom Project, Born Free USA, which is an animal rights group based in Sacramento. They focus on circus animals and performing animals. The Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And the good old Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. So after the purge, the public was no longer able to check these government records on how animals were treated at, and these are the kinds of documents that you could get online. 9,000 zoos, including facilities like our own Kirshner Roadside Zoo over there in Oroville, circuses, research labs, dog breeding operations, which includes puppy mills and kitten mills.
Adopt, don't shop.
And other facilities on the webpage of the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. That's also known as APHIS. So animal activists cheered the decision as a step in the right direction, as I'm doing right now, but urged the agency to restore all the documents that used to be publicly accessible online. Wayne Pacelli, the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, posted that, quote, this is an important turnaround and a good start, but the USDA has a lot more to do here. Lawmakers, the press, animal advocates, and even the regulated community itself want transparency and accessible records. So that last comment about the, quote, regulated community, that refers to statements that were actually released by, like, the Professional Association of Zoos that called for the reposting of this information because they're apparently not ashamed of their, quote, clean inspection reports.
Right.
And they want the public to be able to see how good they are.
I wonder whose words were more important there.
Yeah, you wonder, right? Yeah. Is it PCRM, the Physicians Committee, and HSUS, or is it the American Zoo Association?
Whoever has given the most money to the administration.
Yeah. So, anyway, there was a fellow, Justin Goodman of the White Coat Waste Project, try saying that three times fast, which is a group that advocates against taxpayer-funded experiments on animals, said he is, quote, thrilled that the inspection reports for research facilities have been restored, but he noted that some of the records on government labs are still missing, as is information on exhibitors such as zoos and circuses, as well as breeders and transporters. And so that is the story of the partial restoration of public documents that we paid for as taxpayers.
Right. And I think they've tried this trick with some of the climate science and probably lots of other information. And, you know, knowledge is power, as we say. And there are many sort of historical books and references to what happens when government starts preventing free knowledge. I think a lot of groups out there already proactively started basically downloading these websites and storing this information, and shows kind of another need for the fact that this kind of scientific information needs to be distributed and not just controlled by single entities, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And also I want to point out that, you know, these inspection reports are legally required as part of the execution of the Animal Welfare Act, but our listeners know or should know that the Animal Welfare Act excludes animals raised for food. So chickens, cows, and pigs, their living conditions are not part of this public record. There's no public inspection of how an animal raising facility is run.
It sounds very much like every new appointment to the cabinet, and you know, this old Animal Welfare Act is obviously written by conservatives and business interests, and you know, maybe this particular act has not been of interest to everybody, but now you can see where we are putting climate change denier in charge of the climate, and basically an idiot in charge of education, and every single appointment is actually the opposite, and just sort of a total Orwellian doublespeak. So even though those, it's much more urgent in the current political climate, I'd encourage people to kind of keep their eyes on the ball in regards to animal welfare and other sort of secondary issues to their own concern, and you see that it's the same tactics have been in place for a long time, and they're just ramping them up.
Yep. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. And now we'll have a few calendar items, and then we'll go on to our remembrance of Tom Reagan. So tomorrow night, the Plant Pure Chico, plant-based Chico group will be screening Plant Pure Nation at the Chico Grange Hall from 6 to 9 p.m. That's at 2775 Nord Avenue off of West East Avenue. That's a free screening, and I encourage folks to go check it out. And if you want more information, go to the Plant-Based Chico Facebook group. And then on this Saturday is the Chico Vegan Potluck from 6:30. That's a new start time, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Chico Library Community Room at 1108 Sherman Avenue. The theme this month is supermarket vegan. So I forbid you from using any fancy ingredients or
you
anything.
You can't stop me, Jeannie.
And also no special ingredients. This is just plain old, good old supermarket food. So find something like a vegan tomato sauce from the pasta aisle or something. Also, the Plant-Based Chico group will be having a special table for their special Whole Foods plant-based recipes. So you can find the potluck schedule at chicovegan.com. And just I wanted to just take a quick moment to give a shout out to Travis, who gave me a tip that Lovely Layers cupcake shop had not just one, but actually five vegan gluten-free cupcake flavors today, which I think is pretty awesome. They had a red velvet, a raspberry cream, a chocolate blackberry, and a lemon flavor. And so that's just awesome.
And they're very good. They're very fancy.
Yeah, you know. And they're light. They're not too gummy like sometimes gluten-free baking can be.
I'd encourage them to make vegan gluten-full also.
So would I. Okay, let's go on. That's it for the calendar. I'm going to call it quits on that. If you have an event or other news to share, send an email to chicovegan@gmail.com and go ahead and tell me about it. I'll pass on the word. We have one last bit of business to take care of. The animal rights world lost a great activist last week. Philosopher and animal rights activist Tom Reagan passed away at the age of 78. He was an American philosopher who specialized in animal rights theory and spent his career at North Carolina State University, where he was a beloved professor. He is the author of The Case for Animal Rights, which was published in 1983. And that book argued that animals are the subjects of a life, just like we are. We have things that we like to do and things that we want to do, like have a social life, have friends, and like enjoy different activities. He argued that if we value all human beings, regardless of their abilities, then to be consistent, we must similarly ascribe the same value to non-humans. So just because animals can't have responsibilities, like they're not responsible to vote or something like that, that doesn't mean that they don't have rights. He pointed out that most people believe human babies have rights, even though they themselves don't have any responsibilities. So in addition to being a scholar and an author, he was also an animal activist. And that's where he lies in my heart. He understood that animal rights would not be achieved without a fundamental rethinking of our basic beliefs. So we can choose to eat vegan cheese, but he was pushing for more. He was pushing for a moral understanding, a moral sea change, to acknowledge the rights of these other beings that we share our planet with.
I think we played a clip from him a few weeks ago.
Yes, we did, that interview where he was on a talk show. Yeah, he spent part of his life as a butcher.
Yeah, crazy.
So, anyway, Danny's going to share one of my favorite quotes from a speech that he made. And I hope that you enjoy these words from this very gentle, very persuasive man who'll be deeply missed.
The position we hold, the abolitionist position, is often said to be extreme, and those of us who hold it are said to be extremist. The unspoken suggestions are that extreme positions cannot be right, and that extremists must be wrong. But I am an extremist when it comes to rape. I am against it all the time. I am an extremist when it comes to child abuse. I am against it all the time. I am an extremist when it comes to sexual discrimination, racial discrimination. I am against it all the time. I am an extremist when it comes to abuse to the elderly. I am against it all the time. The plain fact is, moral truth is often extreme and must be, for when the injustice is absolute, then one must oppose it absolutely.
Thanks, Danny. That was from a speech he gave at, in Westwood back in the 80s, and it was just very moving.
Yeah, that's very good. I'd also like to touch briefly on the fact that, sadly, we lost one of our friends and extended activists in our local community. Nicole from Farm Sanctuary passed away in a tragic accident, and I know that her family and her friends and her coworkers are hurting. You know, animal activists spend their lives or portions of their lives, you know, seeking to reduce suffering and to prevent death and to save lives. And I think, you know, these kinds of tragedies just sort of refocus and reiterate the sacrifice that people are making and why they're doing it. So our hearts go out to them. I would suggest folks might make a donation to Farm Sanctuary in Nicole's memory, and we hope everybody is doing all right.
Take care, everyone. Take care. Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Many thanks to Sue Hildebrand of The Real Issue and Guillermo Mash of Without a Roof for their engineering assistance and moral support. Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. is one of the standout days of the week on KZFR, as far as I'm concerned, for local public affairs programming. So stay tuned for Stu's show, The Real Issue, which is coming up next.
You've been listening to Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff.
If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, please visit the archives at kzfr.org and search for Non-Human Radio. This is Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms signing off.
Be different, be better, be kind,
and go vegan.
Every action is a reaction.